Hello, this is Greg Strickland from Louisa Christian Church, and welcome to Real Faith Today. On behalf of our congregation, we hope that you are inspired by our music team and encouraged and challenged by today's message from our pastor, Vincent Klug. Now that we're meeting again in person, today's message is from our worship service last week that has been edited for today's broadcast.
James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Did you ever walk into a room and go, "What did I come in here for?" I did it this morning. James is trying to remind us what we're here for. James is trying to remind us of what we forgot, what the most important thing we needed to know. This text is so that we remember and that we return with our whole hearts to the Lord. He's going to be rough on us. He's going to confront us. I pray our hearts are ready and open, that we learn to swallow our pride. James 4, verse 1 reads, "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" Can you believe how relevant that text is today? Chicago and Portland. You know, in my prayer, I talked about the church's role in our culture, and it looks to me like the church isn't impacting our culture the way those who were before us have impacted our culture. It's time we are called out. It's time for us to awake and have the power of God in our lives like never before. Look, I've talked to many people and many of you, and people are talking about, "Is this the end time, Pastor? You know, what does Revelation say? Is this the end of our country? Is this the end? Are we coming towards the book of Revelation here?" And my pastoral answer is, I have no idea. It will become like a thief in the night. But one thing I do believe, the enemy's at the gate. The enemy's at the gate, brothers and sisters. It's time. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to awaken. That's what James is talking about, wars and fights that come from among you. And if the church is struggling from within with things I talked about last week, gossip, criticism, negativity, instead of come together to encourage one another, we're going to be weak. God made us for each other. We need each other. There's no way around it. We need to encourage. We need encouragement. We were made for that. We should not count on it entirely, mostly in the Lord, but He uses us in each other's lives, is what I'm trying to say, to hold each other up. We're the called out. Church means those called out to come together out from the world. Well, James continues with 1 verse 1 and says, "Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members?" You know what he's talking about? We've talked about this dozens of times over the last 2 years. We each have a sinful nature, Paul called it. We each have something in us that wants to be independent of God, that wants to question God, that we stand in judgment of God's word. We stand in judgment of Him. That's our sinful nature. Paul said, this is where it comes from. I mean, James is saying, this is where it comes from. It comes from within you. You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. I don't think the New Testament church was murdering people in the service, okay? I think James is talking about Matthew 5, when Jesus said, if you have contempt with someone, you're guilty of the commandment, do not murder. If you remember from previous chapters in James, if a poor person came in church, they would treat that person with contempt. They would say, "Go sit over there on the floor." And if a wealthy person came in, they'd say, "Oh, you have the good seat." He said, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're murdering that person. Murdering them. And then Jesus just brought it home in Matthew 25 where he said, that's you. You forgot. That's you. You're on Judgment Day when you visited the poor, when you helped the poor, the weak, the naked, the wretched, the pitiful. That was you. He said, when you do it for the least of those, you've done it to me. Did you just follow the logic in that? We've murdered Jesus again. Oh my goodness. You are envious. He keeps talking about the sinful nature here. You are envious and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. When you do ask, you don't receive because you have a wrong motive so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Even if you're praying, you're praying from your sinful nature, that energy. What hurts a church is not a broken window. What hurts us is what happens from within. Do you love your brothers and sisters? Are you loving people the way the Holy Spirit is nudging you to? I don't have to nudge you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The best way to hurt the church is not from the outside, not the building, it's from within. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, so you're not, this isn't your place, you're visiting this place. Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Peter talked about the sinful nature too. This is serious stuff. So when you're having that bad day, when things aren't going your way, two or three things have happened to you to discourage you, you're already tired, that's when you're weak. That's when you're vulnerable. To say something you shouldn't say, to think something you shouldn't think, to start something you shouldn't start. And then if that wasn't enough, if James hasn't, aren't you glad you came to church today? If that's not enough, look at verse 4. And some of your translations have more than one word there. The actual Greek has one word. Adulteresses. You're adulteresses. Wow. What is that? Why is he calling us adulteresses? He's calling everybody that. Why? Well, let's start off with the first commandment. We all know the golden rule. The first commandment, the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, all thy heart, all thy soul. That's what God wants. Why? We can see in Ephesians 5, he's talking about marriage. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. We're married to God. God's people. He considers it a marriage. He considers it an intimate marriage. It's in Hosea. It's in Ezekiel. It's in Jeremiah. It's throughout the whole Old Testament. When people read this, they knew what he was talking about. They were very biblically literate. James is calling us out. You've walked in the room and forgotten why you came. The shadows of this world, the influence of this world, the news, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. Nothing wrong with it, but too much of it. And you forget why we're here. I forget while I'm here. I can carry too many burdens. I, too, have to hand over my burdens, my loss of missing you all, of being worried about the future. When can we fellowship again like we once did? I have to hand that over. I'm no different than you. We're in this together. I'm the adulteress too. I don't love God with all my heart. Because he says, he continues in verse 4, do you not know that your friendship with the world is hostility with God, toward God? And then, if it's unclear, he says, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Look, listen, when he says, you adulteresses, he's calling them out. He's calling us out. He's trying to remind. Don't you remember your first love? Don't you remember The love you had for the Lord. Don't you remember how much he loves you when you looked at the cross and it just hit you? Remember that. Come out from among them. Don't forget why you're here. God's not on vacation. He's not surprised by the virus. He's not surprised by the rioting. He knows. He knew. Verse 5. Do you not think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he made to dwell in us. God is actively jealous. God. Are you following the train of thought here? He's gone from adulterers to jealous. So we're off doing our own thing with someone else. The Bible calls the world, because we're accepting the mindsets, the autonomy, the independence from God. We don't need God. Right? And he's taking it all the way from you adulteresses to, don't you know what your spouse is like? Have you forgotten your spouse, what he's like? He's jealous. A jealous spouse isn't going to leave you alone. He's going to go after you. He's going to oppose you. He's going to do what he needs to do to get you back. God is not satisfied with a passionless marriage. You know, it's not about not doing things God wants us to do primarily. It's about our pride. It's about leaving God out. So what does a jealous lover do? Bang on the door. Rage. Shame you. Reject you. Maybe that's what we would do. And that brings us to verse 6. Oh, verse 6 is here. Thank you, Lord. I got through the first 5 verses. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. He's not at the door ready to let you have it. He's saying, let's work this out. I love you. This is why Jesus came. I died for you. And he's talking to Christians. He's talking to you and me. Look, just to show you, it's not about the commandments, breaking the commandments. Look at Romans 5:20. I'll read it for you. The law was given so we could see how sinful we are. That's why. It would never save us, right? But when we got the law, we sinned more. Wow, that didn't help, did it? Well, it could help you do one thing. Help you realize you need a Savior. Because as we sin more, the verse continues, grace increased more abundantly. God is not put off by sin. There is no sin the cross cannot cover. We're worried about little things. Yeah, and those things matter, don't get me wrong. But what God wants is that romance back. When I first started dating Dana, it was after my mom had a really bad accident. So I was living with her, taking care of her, and I had already gone through some really tough times too. So anyways, I had to be with her all the time. And so Dana would come over, and my mom only liked to watch one show, House. We watched every season of House, but we just wanted to be together. She didn't care. She was willing to watch even the Chicago Cubs beat the Nationals. Whatever it took, she was there, you know, because I was there. I had to be there for my mom at that time. But that's what that first love is like. How much time do we spend with our spiritual, making God a spiritual priority? I can't say it like Denzel Washington, but I heard him say it in the commencement so perfectly. Put God first in everything you do, in everything you think. Put God first. So I forgot to say the points. Christians, point one, Christians are married to God. Point two, here we go. Christians seek humility. We seek it. We remember we need it. When we're having a good week spiritually, oh, I prayed more this week. I did this week. Man, I really did it. I handled that fight so much better than my spouse did this week. Whatever it is, we just feel a little better. Recently, I said to somebody, man, you're being such a godly person, so generous. I'm like, oh, I just ruined it. Now you're prideful. That's the danger. See, we have to remind ourselves to be humble. Humility is the ultimate expression of faith. You know, the verse continues, God is opposed to the proud. Well, we talked about that. He's a jealous God. Are things rough for you? Are you missing peace in your life? Are you just know something's wrong? Are you on edge? Are you always trying to find that thing out there that you can't get? Is something being withheld in your life and you know it? That's God. That's what I challenge you. That's God. He's going after you. He's opposing you to stop you, to save you, to get you back. Oh, he gives more grace. Then he says in verse 7, therefore submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, when you submit to God, if you're not afraid of the devil, who are you afraid of? A virus? Riots? If you're not afraid of the most evil being that ever existed, who are you afraid? You're afraid of no one. If you're living in submission to God, you have no fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm the sheep. He's the shepherd. See, it's all over the Bible. You got fear in your life. You got anxiety in your life. Maybe there's medical reasons, and I'm not dissing that. I know there's a place for counseling and medication, but a lot of it's not necessary. A lot of it, we just let it happen. We're not living in humility to God as we should, as we could. And I'm including myself. Because if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Now he's getting mean again. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Man. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Have you ever had a knockout battle with your spouse? You don't have to nod in agreement. We all have, right? Just one that was bloody. You said things you shouldn't have said. You tried to be right. And in fact, maybe you were right, but you were so proud of being right, you did it in the wrong way. Have you been there? Knockout battle. At some point, you realize it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. We've just brought this turmoil to our home. Maybe our kids hurt us, or our grandkids. Why? And what do? We grieve. We mourn. We are miserable, we mourn and we weep. Our laughter is turned into mourning and our joy to gloom. That's what coming back to the Lord looks like. How do we do this? How do we stay humble? How do we stay dependent on God? How do we walk close to him? Because if you're like me, you're saying, well, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm too busy. I'm too wired the way I've always been wired. I'm independent. You know, I include God as much as I can. I'm with you. I get you. How do we do it? Revelation comes to us now in these dark times that we live, these difficult, challenging times. They're not dark in here, though. The Word of God brings the light. Jesus brings the light. But let me share with you Revelations 3, 15 to 18. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. You forgot why you came in the room. I counsel you, Jesus says, to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Jesus has done all this for at the cross. Submit yourself to God. Bring him your need. Let him see it all, because he loves you more than you'll ever know. Let your knees hit the ground symbolically, maybe in real life. Let him hit the ground, and then you'll touch the sky.
Fortune lies beyond the stars, its dazzling heights too vast to climb. I got so high to fall so far, but I found heaven as love swept low. My heart beating, my soul breathing, I found my life when I laid it down. A bird falling, spirit soaring, I touched the sky when my knees hit the ground.
The banquet he's prepared for you. It's yours. This is the way. This is the road. And here's where it leads. Point three, Christians have intimacy with God. The very thing our heart longs for, the very thing we walk around with trying to fill all the time with everything else is ours. We just have to open the door and let him in. There's a reason the psalmist wrote, I live a dry and weary land where there is no water. You, O Lord, are better than life itself. Your pleasures for me are in your right hand. There is one who's the lover that your heart longs for. The one meets the needs our spouses could never meet. The love of our lives, whatever they may be, could never meet. And he'd do anything to reach you. And he did. He died on the cross for you. And all it takes is faith expressing itself through humility. We forget that word. Because what happens to us is we change from the inside out when we understand that humility. He humbled himself on the cross to take our shame and our sin. When he called out for God to be near, God was not near, he was far. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was far so that we could be near. Will you draw closer to God today? From now on, less news, more scripture, more spiritual things in our lives. Because as Revelation 3, Jesus ends this analogy by saying, and this might bring a lot of things together for you. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. That's what James is talking about. So be earnest and repent. Change your thinking. Remember why you're in the room. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they me. In Bible times, that was the most intimate thing you can do with someone, is have a meal with them. Let us respond to the Lord with our hearts, with how we use our time, with a conversation today that we all need to have, to the one who loves us more than we could imagine.
Father, we thank you for our light. We thank you for sending your only Son to save us from our sins. Forgive us for our sins and give us the tools we need to be a light for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Klug. I just want to take a minute and thank you, our listeners, for joining us these last 4 months. This will be our last broadcast, at least for now. Only God knows the future, and we do pray for His will. We also pray for God's protection and blessing upon you. We'd so love to hear from you. Please go to our website. Greg will share the address in a moment. And there you'll find our contact information. And if we can assist you in seeking the Lord during these difficult days, again, please contact us. God is good, and He's sovereign over all things in heaven and earth. Well, I want to thank all those who participated from my church, Louisa Christian Church, especially the music people who have done so much and have been a blessing to so many people. Well, signing off. God bless you all. Greg, thank you for introducing us and closing us out each week. I hand it over to you.
On behalf of Louisa Christian Church, we hope that joining in on our worship service inspired you and brought you closer to God. We thank our sponsors for today's broadcast, and we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Special thanks to Butch and Sharon Duke, Derek and Sarah Waller, Catherine Neese, Mike Clevenger, and Dana Clue for inspiring us through their music. If you would like to find out more about Louisa Christian Church, or attend one of our worship services, or even sign up to receive our newsletter, please visit our website at louisachristianchurch.org. That's louisachristianchurch.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.